It's such a wonderful, wonderful day in a wonderful, wonderful space. Let's give another round of applause, though, to that special music. It was right on time. Yes, draw the circle wide. Well, I'm Wendy Hamilton. I'm the clergy intern, and I am, as I said, honored to be with you all this morning to share just a little bit that's been on my heart for a few weeks, and I hope that you all are open and ready to hear what I have to say. I first want to acknowledge the very large shoes, of course, that I'm standing in this morning, and I'm shaking as we speak. You're right. Standing in the feet of the very lovely painted feet of Reverend Emma, who is ministering at Harrisonburg UCC this morning. So we certainly bless her as she stands before them, and Heather's with her in support. And she's given me this honor and this privilege to be able to share with you all today. So I'm very, very grateful for that. Here we go. So today's sermon is entitled, Ain't I a Human? Ain't I a Human? And I'll talk a little bit later on about where I actually borrowed that topic from. But what I want to first do is talk about the scripture reading from today, because that is essentially where the basis of my talk is coming from. The story of the Canaanite woman in Matthew. Now, in reading that, and I'll go over it again here in a few minutes, it's not one of the more popular ones that you hear preached very often. Yeah, it's not all that comfortable. It's not really, you know, snazzy, and it doesn't have all the feels to it. It's a tough one. The scripture reading from today, often when it is talked about or preached, it gets softened up a little bit. The story gets smoothed out, like maybe that's not exactly what the intent was, or maybe what Jesus was trying to share in that moment was this or that. And I understand the inclination to want to do that, but I also understand the importance of keeping things in context, or like I also like to say, keeping them real. One of the reasons that that particular story gets smoothed over a bit is because we're not always necessarily ready to talk about Jesus's humanity. Oh, amen. We can talk about the divinity of Jesus and all of the wonderful miracles that were performed and all of the healings and all of those, and all of that is incredibly important. But you know what? Jesus also had a human side. Jesus walked the earth as a human with divine principles, much like we do. And I think that it's important that we also highlight those aspects of Jesus' life. And to me, just personally, the humanity of Jesus makes him a lot more accessible to me. When I, you know, hear the scriptures about, you know, Jesus getting angry. Yeah, anybody else get angry from time to time? Yeah, okay. Or is it just me? Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, angry to the point that he's like flipping over money changer tables, or, you know, angry because his disciples for the 18th time have said, what are we supposed to do? You know, Jesus is like, how many times have we had this conversation? You know, in so many words, you know, when the seas were whipping, much like they are in Florida, and we keep all of those people lifted in prayer this morning. But when they were on the ship, I don't know if you remember the story, and it was tossing to and fro, and, you know, Jesus had gone downstairs. He was tired. He went to sleep. And, you know, the disciples were throwing stuff off the boat. And, oh, my goodness, we're going down. And they go down to the bottom, and they say to Jesus, how could you be sleeping at a time like this? Jesus says, where is your faith? Did I not tell you this was going to pass over? How long must I suffer with you all? So there were parts of Jesus that were very human, much like us. And those are the parts for me when we start talking about Jesus' life that I make sure that are highlighted just as much as the divinity, the divine nature of Jesus. So that being said, let's dig into this story a little bit. And I will put this disclaimer out there. I'm a teacher by nature. Yes, I preach too, but I kind of teach. One of my friends used to call me a treacher. Yeah, whatever that is. So I think it's important to teach as well as preach in an effort to help you relate to the story. So let's go back to this scripture passage on what some translations call the Syrophoenician woman, or the Canaanite woman. Now, each of those designates the region and the area from which this woman was from. So Syrophoenicia was sort of north of where Jesus was actually feeding the 5,000. So that's where this story kind of occurs. So picture Jesus having fed the 5,000, the bread and the loaves and all this wonderful miracle that's happened. And so the scripture starts out by saying Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, some translations suggest that the word withdrew means that he pulled away. You know, he'd been serving people all day, feeding people all day, you know, healing, and he needed to have just a little bit of a break, you know, just some time to catch his breath. So he and his disciples went into an area of Tyre and Sidon, which was north of where he was, which was actually an area that was populated by Gentiles. Now, in that day and time, there were Jewish and there were Gentile. That was it. And if you were not Jewish, you were not considered human in a sense that some Jewish refer to Gentiles as dogs, hence the scripture. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord and Savior, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." And Jesus ignored her. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, the Son of David? It says, he did not answer her a word. Now, could he have been maybe tired? You know, like I said, he was withdrawing. He had been doing, you know, all of the healing all day. So he wasn't anticipating anyone approaching him, you know, to ask for yet another healing or miracle. He was trying to, you know, sort of gather himself with the disciples. And here comes this woman with a demon-possessed daughter. How dare she? I'm resting, and here she comes. Lord, Son of David, you know, I know who you are. I'm thinking she probably had heard, you know, it was going out abroad and around the region, all of the miracles that this guy Jesus was performing. And so she knew he was nearby, and she wanted to bring her daughter and make a request. And she came before him, and she asked him, "Please heal my daughter. She's possessed." And Jesus didn't even speak. Well, that's okay. You know, she stood there. She didn't move. And the disciples, you know, the followers of Jesus, who are, you know, carrying out the things Jesus is showing them to do, said, "Could you make her go away, please? Could you, Jesus, really? She's getting on our nerves with all of her begging." And he answered to the woman and said, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Wow. So first he ignored what she requested. And then he said, "I'm not even sent to you." Oh. And she came to him again, didn't move. And she bowed down and she said, "Help me, Lord, help me." And he said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to a dog." Ouch. So he ignored her. He told her he wasn't sent to her people. And then he said, "We don't give meat to dogs." Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been my third strike. Okay, I tried. I probably would have just returned to where I had come from and just resolved myself to saying, "That is not meant for me. Perhaps my daughter is not to be healed." But that's not what this woman did. This woman, after that response of, "It's not meat for me to give meat to dogs," she said, "Ha, yeah, but even dogs eat crumbs off the master's table." Jesus said, "You know what? You got it. You have got it. Your faith, not necessarily your faith in me, your faith in who you are, has made you whole. There is no other explanation for why this woman, to me, would stand in the face of rejection, in the face of ridicule, in the face of offense, of religious leaders telling, go away, woman, go away. You're not one of us, go away. It made me think in her mind, she was saying, but ain't I human? I may not be Jewish, but is my daughter not worthy to be healed too? What is it about me, Jesus, that my daughter doesn't deserve to get one of these healings that you've been going all around the region performing for others? I believe this woman stood in her own humanity and changed Jesus' heart to the point that he said, your faith has made you whole. Your daughter is healed right now. There's a lot in that scripture that certainly could be unpacked. And anytime we have the opportunity to be a little bit more honest about where Jesus stood and what his motives might have been in this particular passage, the smoothing over stories that I've heard have said, oh, well, you know, he was just doing that to build her faith. You know, he was just trying to see how much she could take, you know, before she recognized how much faith she had. I'm like, okay. But why is it difficult for us to acknowledge that in that moment, Jesus was rude? Now, do I think Jesus was a rude person? Generally, no. But in that moment, absolutely. There wasn't anything about that woman or her daughter that didn't deserve, in my mind, the same attention that he had been giving others throughout the region. The only thing that was different was where she was from. The divinity of Jesus is something that we celebrate and we talk about, but the humanity of Jesus also is a part of who Jesus is. Was as a person. Jesus cried and wept, as I said, flipped tables and became angry, talked back to his mother. I don't know if you remember that. You know, they went looking for him and he was hiding in the temples and they were like, where have you been? He's like, woman, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? You know, we kind of overlook those, but those make Jesus to me much more relatable. And so as I mentioned, in my attempts to understand Jesus' response to this woman, and they've been debated over the years. From my vantage point, I saw a woman. Just a woman. A brave woman. And a mother. Now let's take that aspect into it, because for those of us who have children that we've either birthed or that we have just taken in as our own, or nieces or nephews, there's not even Jesus can make us, you know, not fight for what we want for them. And so she was not being moved by anything. In my mind, I hear her saying, Jesus, I know about you. You've been all around this region, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. And now that you've come to my region, you're going to deny my daughter because I'm different? Ain't I a human? Is my daughter less worthy of being healed because I'm a Gentile? Is that how this love of God thing works? Because that's not what I've heard. And so I'm going to stand here and I'm going to plead my case until the divinity in you recognizes the divinity in me. She was ignored. She waited. She pleaded. She persisted. And ultimately, in the end, she prevailed. She changed Jesus' heart. In that moment, he saw her and her daughter's humanity, and he healed her. That, my friends, is what I feel it's going to take for healing to take place, even in our world. We've got to get to a place where we see each other as human. Ain't I human? We all bleed the same. We all worry about similar things. I ask the question to some, what is it about my humanity that disturbs you so much? What is it that makes other people uncomfortable about who you are as a person? Just because I might worship differently than you, might look differently than you, might love differently than you, that doesn't make me or any of us inferior to you. It just makes us different. As an adjunct professor, I used to say that to my students. Different does not mean inferior. It just means different. And I feel like if we got to a place where we could acknowledge the humanity, then we would understand that we're so much more alike than we are different. Now, I will say I borrowed the Ain't I Human? I borrowed that from a speech that actually was written some years ago, back in 1851. By a freedom fighter and anti-slavery abolitionist by the name of Sojourner Truth. Sojourner Truth wrote a speech that was entitled, Ain't I a Woman? And at that time, she had been freed from slavery, so she was a freed slave, but she was still experiencing oppression and discrimination, particularly gender related to her as a woman. And so there was a political convention taking place in Akron, Ohio. I'm from Ohio. And so Sojourner made her way to the floor of the convention and asked to be acknowledged and asked, could she speak? Because there were a number of gentlemen who were discussing what women could do and couldn't do and shouldn't do and wouldn't do. And she's standing there like, well, ain't I a woman? Could I have the floor? And some of the powerful and the religious, kind of like the disciples, could you tell her to sit down, please? There's no room for her on the docket. We don't want to hear what she has to say. What is it about people who are in power that sometimes become intimidated by those of us who are not? Oh, that's a whole nother sermon. If you are that intimidated by someone who has less power than you, simply speaking their truth, then I wonder how secure you really are in your power. My having a different outlook, a different opinion, should not rattle you to the point that you dismiss anything that I have to say. So Sojourner said, ain't I a woman? Can I speak? And someone said,
let her speak.
So you can look online and read the entire passage, but I did pull up a little excerpt of what Sojourner had to say. She said, that man over there says that women need to be helped into carriages and lifted over ditches, and to have best places everywhere. But nobody ever helps me into carriages or over mud puddles or gives me any best place. And ain't I a woman? Look at me. Look at my arm. I have plowed and I have planted and gathered into barns, and no man could head me. And ain't I a woman? I could work as much and eat as much as a man when I could get it, and I could bear the lash as well. And ain't I a woman? If my cup won't hold but a pint and yours hold a quart, wouldn't you be mean not to let me have my little half measure full? Sojourner was saying to them, I can do all of the things that you are suggesting that I cannot, because I'm human. I may do it differently. I may not hold as much. Well, she did say she could eat as much, and I can agree with that. She did say she eats as much, and she's plowed, and she's done all of the things that this man and the men were quoting that they could do, and yet she wasn't even given permission to speak because her words were being dismissed and diminished. What is it about humanity, someone else's humanity, that makes us uncomfortable? As I said, I may look differently than you and walk differently. I may speak differently than you, and I may love and worship, but I'm not inferior, and neither are you. You're simply different. We're human. Ain't I human? Absolutely. We're connected. We bleed the same. We struggle the same. We hurt the same. We triumph the same. Now, we may express it differently, but at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And even in the midst of some of these natural disasters, it's been beautiful to see the humanity of all of us coming together. Guess what? Hurricanes don't discriminate. They don't oppress. They don't strategize on, I'm going to take out this neighborhood. It's coming for everybody. The evacuation, when the governor got on, he said, everybody leave. If you're in the evacuation zone, you need to go. But even when the pictures were coming out from Hurricane Harvey and you saw just the essence of humanity rescuing people on boats, putting people on their backs, there was one man I did hear this morning. I checked in and they said that there's a man who owns 5 kayaks and he's off of the Keys in Florida. And people are, why are you still here? You have been, you know, commanded to evacuate. They've even told folks who decided to stay, you are on your own. First responders will not be sent to you if you choose to remain, which is kind of harsh, but I understand because, you know, we're going to risk 2 people. If you want to stay, that's certainly your choice. But this man said, I'm staying because I have 5 kayaks and people will probably need to be rescued. So if I make it, I'm going to help others who may not. We're human. That's the takeaway from today's message. That Canaanite woman stood her ground with Jesus, whose response initially diminished her humanity to that of a dog. The faith of her response was rooted in her self-awareness. I'm not moving until you recognize who I am. Sojourner Truth marched into that women's convention and she boldly claimed her humanity in the face of withering criticism and rebuke and asked to be affirmed. Ain't I a woman? Don't human rights apply to me as well? Friends, in these tumultuous times where the fears of being different are being stoked, let us remind ourselves daily of our shared humanity. We truly are more alike than we are different, maybe even more than we'll acknowledge sometimes. The humanity in me sees and acknowledges the humanity in each of you. And the divinity in me, you know, the namaste, you know that's what that means? Namaste, if you've heard that, means the divine in me acknowledges the divine in you. Ain't I human? Doggone right I am. Now let's get to work on sharing that message together. Amen.